please turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. Now, this is in the Old Testament. And if you're not familiar with it, it's a little hard to find. What I'm going to suggest is that you kind of look in the middle. Look in that middle area. You will find Jeremiah. If you don't know how to do that, again, go to the table of contents. And you will see kind of like halfway-ish, you'll see the book of Jeremiah. Once you get there, please turn with me to the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. And then once you're at the 17th chapter, we're going to spend the majority of our time in verses 9 and 10. Book of Jeremiah, 17th chapter, verses 9 and 10. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it out of the Christian Standard Bible Version. You will find similar words printed in your text. If you have it, say amen. If you still need some time, say wait a minute. Amen. I like to hear wait a minute. It means somebody's looking. So the book of Jeremiah, 17th chapter, verses 9 through 10, you will, if you're not able to find it in your Bible, then you will find it on the screen. Anyway, I hear pages turning, so that's good. In the meantime, I just realized there's another microphone. I'm trying this out. Mic. Microphone. Okay. All right. So I don't have to use that one. All right. Book of Jeremiah, 17th chapter, verses 9 through 10. It reads as follows. It says, "The heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable." Or some versions read, "and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Verse 10, "I, the Lord, examine the mind. I test the heart to give to each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve." And the topic I'm going to come from might sound a little familiar. God knows my heart. God knows my heart. This was actually one of the entries for the top five that did not make it into the top five. But I'm assuming that the person that entered it in had a little bit of a negative feeling towards this. Why? Because when people, and I'll say especially Christians, use the phrase, "God knows my heart," it's usually a cop-out. It's usually a justification to do something they ain't got no business doing. And what people would usually say is that, well, you know, God knows my heart. Like, God knows me. God knows what I'm about. So even if I do just a little this or get involved in a little of that, you know, God still loves me. He'll still take care of me. And he knows that I love him too, because he knows my heart. Well, as one person put it, God does know our hearts. That's the problem. That's the actual problem. Because yes, true. It's true that God knows our hearts, but why is that important? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Why is it important that God knows our hearts? Is it so that we can sin? Is it so that we can get involved in the things that we really want to do because God knows me, but he also knows that God, you know, I love God? Is that what this is for? Why is it important that God knows our hearts? And if you've ever heard this and you've wanted to have something to respond, my prayer is that this sermon will give you a couple of points to think about. So why is it important? Why does it matter that God knows our hearts? Well, if we're going to keep it biblical, one of the reasons that it's important that God knows our hearts is because God can judge us. Oh boy. Let's read the scripture. Jeremiah 17th chapter 10th verse. It says, I, the Lord, he clarified, examine the mind. I, the Lord, test the heart. To do what? To give to each according to his way. According to what his actions deserve. That'll preach by itself. It especially preaches when you realize that it's in the context of all of Jeremiah 17. And what Jeremiah 17, starting at verses 5, what it goes into is, hey, here's what the people that are cursed of the Lord, here's what's going to happen to them. And then in verse 7, it goes into the people that were blessed by the Lord, the people that trust in the Lord, this is what's going to happen to them. If you are cursed by the Lord, if you trust in your own self, bad things happen. You trust in the Lord, good things happen. And in that context comes this whole thought about, you know, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately sick or is incurable. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, examine the mind. I test the heart to give to each according to his way. If you trust in yourself, you're going to get the results of trusting in yourself. But if you trust in the Lord, he guarantees that you will get the results of trusting in the Lord. See, this idea of judgment, we kind of have to take a step back, because when we talk about judging, we always assume it in a negative sense. However, judging can be good or bad. Let me say that again. Judging can be good or bad. God can reward you or he can punish you. But that's because God makes the judgment. So again, for those of us who trust in the Lord, we're looking forward to his judgment. Hello? Oh, but for those of us who think that God's way is the old way and my way is the best way, the new way, yeah, I'd be scared if I were you as well. But God can reward us or punish us. God can judge. Why? Because look, he examines the mind. He tests the heart. So here's where I'm trying to go to. Since God knows the most, he can judge the best. Y'all realize that, right? You know, sometimes things happen to us and everybody feels so bad. Oh, I'm so bad. I feel so bad for you, Pastor. I feel so bad for you. But in my own heart, I'm like, well, yeah, it makes sense. you don't know, but I know. Some of us know what it's like to have experienced the punishment of the Lord. And maybe not everybody else around you understands, but you do. And you know that God knows best. God can judge us. That's one of the reasons that it's important that God knows our hearts. Because there are those of us who think that God only knows us and will just let us go, but God knows and he will judge the things that you're thinking. Do you realize that you cannot get over on God? Do you realize that you can't be a lawyer with him? You know, well, God, you promised. Lord, you said that if I come to you, you're going to forgive me, so you got to forgive me. You realize the Lord knows your game, right? Hello? Yeah, this is not what we want to hear. Keep moving. God can judge us. That's why it's important that God knows our hearts. Now, this next reason, I'm sure it's going to get a few amens. Why is it important that God knows our hearts? Because we cannot judge like God can. All right. I'm going to go through this point. Just remember, y'all said amen. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to talk. Just remember, y'all said amen. In verse 9, it says, the heart is more deceitful than anything else, and it's incurable. It says what? Who can understand it? This is the Lord talking. Who on earth can understand the depths of a heart? Who on earth can understand what's really going on? And he says, I, the Lord, examine the mind. I test the heart. So it's hard for us to judge correctly when we have sick hearts. It's hard for us to judge correctly when we don't even understand all of it. But the Lord understands the heart. Now, some of you may say, Pastor, I've got an exception. Ever since I've been seeing my therapist, ever since I got my bachelor's and then my master's and then my PhD in psychology, I feel like I understand the deep-rooted issues. I feel like I understand what abandonment does. I feel like I understand neglect. I feel like I understand the need for affirmation. I feel like understanding the childhood issues and how they blossom into adult issues. I feel like I understand that. I feel like I get it. And there's no denying that in therapy or in counseling, that you do get to understand your heart a little more. There's no denying that, especially with the advances in modern psychology, that you're able to understand the root issues in the heart more. There's no denying that even nowadays, you can ask ChatGPT, what's wrong with me? And ChatGPT, or Gemini, or whoever, whatever I should say, will go through and list all of the issues, the potential issues that could be going on with you. It's true that you can do this without setting foot in church. That's part of the problem today, is people are starting to realize they don't need the church to be a good person. Y'all still said amen, right? People are realizing that if I want to fix my mommy issues and my daddy issues, church is just one way to handle it. But a therapist can do it well. ChatGPT can do it well. The people I follow on Instagram can do it well. People are realizing that. People are not coming to church, partly because they don't feel like they need to. They're good people. How are they good people? Because they're finding all of this stuff out without people like me screaming at a microphone. Hello? But I want to tell you something. Even with modern psychology, even with open AI, even with your therapist, we are still learning what God already knows. None of the information that you are finding out is new. It might have taken you 20 years to learn something. Or maybe nowadays it might have taken you 2 minutes. But God has known this for a very long time. So I know that we think we're so big and bad because we can find out what we need to find out to live what we call a good life on our own, but do you realize God already has the answers? Even with AI, you have to enter the information correctly for you to get a good response. Even with your counselor or therapist, you have to tell them everything in order for them to hopefully give you a good response. But God already knows your heart because he examines the mind and he tests the heart. And somebody said, and that's why y'all can't judge me, because only God, here we go, can judge me. And it is true that we do not judge well on our own. Why? Because we don't really have all the information. Y'all ever made judgments about somebody? Ooh, they ratchet. Ooh, they ghetto. Oh, they don't respect their parents. Oh, they this. Oh, they that. And then you get a little more information. And then you say, oh, well, now that I know that. Okay. Oh, so that's what was happening when they were a child. I get it now. Oh, they're having a big marriage problem. That's why they went off on me. Because they're projecting. And they're making up for what they're not getting in the marriage. Oh, okay. Yeah, we're right. Because we're learning these things. So yeah, that makes sense that we're really not good judges of people on our own. So it's important that God knows our hearts, because we cannot judge like God can. It's very important to know. Now, some of us are ready to say, you know what, Pastor? Thank you for the word. I'm ready to walk out of here. God can judge me, can't nobody else. Point number three. God uses people to judge people. I know. This is the part where we tune out. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is more deceitful than anything else, right? And it's incurable. Who can understand it? Now, this is where we've got to actually read the whole Bible. and not just read our favorite verses. Because if you're looking at the context of what is going on, the nation of Judah, there's Israel and Judah split off. The nation of Judah is about to get judged. They are going to get destroyed because they were been far away from God. God is outlining all of these things, all of the reasons why the nation is going down. And he's saying, if you would turn to me, everything would be fine, but you're not turning to me, so everything's going downhill. Now, how is God telling Judah these things? He's using the prophet Jeremiah. He's using Jeremiah to pronounce judgment on Judah. Y'all still with me? There's a problem. The problem is Jeremiah 17:9, right? The heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? That includes Jeremiah. How is Jeremiah going to judge the nation of Judah if he himself has a problem? Does that make sense? Because some of y'all look at me like, well, Pastor, how are you going to tell me what to do? And I'm looking at you and who you are and what you've done. How are you going? I understand your point. I understand. How can I judge you, right? That's exactly the point. Jeremiah can't judge well on his own. So God is telling him what to say. I'm going to need y'all to really be with me on the same page on this one. He cannot judge well on his own. He cannot judge well on his own, so God is telling him what to say, right? That's kind of the point of the book of Jeremiah. God's telling Jeremiah what to say. And what is he saying? Through Jeremiah, God is saying that people will get what's coming to them. It's going to happen. So therefore, God used Jeremiah, who has as sick of a heart as we do, to tell the nation of Judah that judgment is coming. Let me say it like this. God can use anything to execute his judgment. Even sick people. There's a saying, a broken clock is right twice a day. Some of us don't listen to broken clocks because they are broken. Not knowing that God is using them to talk to you. Some people will not listen to me, and some people will not listen to you because they think they know better, and they think that we don't know better. But God is using us to help people, and God is using them to help you. Some of us won't listen to anybody if they ain't a Christian. Some of us won't listen to anybody unless they have a title. Some of us won't listen to anyone unless they are living this perfect lifestyle that we think in our heads somebody should be living. And that's why you have people who have messed up families that are trying to give you advice on what to do with your kids, and you can't hear them. That is why at your job there are people below you that are making suggestions that you will never listen to. Because I'm a manager. I think I know more about my job than you. There are some people who don't listen because the people that are telling them this are too old. Wait. Or too young. God can use anything. And instead of us being so stuck up about who we are and what God has done in my life and why I can't, maybe it would be better if we just listened. Because maybe God is using them to tell you something. And your life keeps getting messed up because you're not listening. Now, I'm not saying you got to listen to anybody and everybody. I get it. However, but you got to realize that God can use your children to talk to you. And children, God can use your parents. No, they don't know about ChatGPT. No, they don't know what TikTok is. But they sure know what the right direction is. They sure know that you when they say you better leave that girl alone, they on to something. Hello? Somebody said in the sermon. God uses people to judge people. And so when we realize that God can judge us, and that even though we cannot judge like God can, but God can use people, just like he used the prophet Jeremiah, God can use people to judge you. Now we have an even bigger problem, because our hearts are still deceitful. Our hearts are still incurable. So what can we do? Right? We still have a problem with the heart. We still have a problem lying to ourselves about how sick we are. We say it's not mommy issues or daddy issues. It's not abandonment. It's not that. But we're lying to ourselves because we want to look good, not only to everybody else. We want to look good to ourselves. How are you going to get help if you don't even want the help? How are you going to listen if you don't even want to listen? Oh, and by the way, it's not getting better, because the older you get, the less. How are you going to do that? How are you going to change? And ladies and gentlemen, this is why we need Jesus. Because Jesus Christ came into this world with one mission: to rescue us from this sick heart. Jesus was born through the Virgin Mary. He lived through 33 years, and he went and died on a Roman cross to do what? To take on the sickness that we call sin, that is preventing us from even coming to God in the first place. Jesus had to do something. We could do anything. So Jesus had to make the move and take all of our sins on the cross. And he died on that cross for you and for me. And he was buried. But on the third day, he rose again with all power in his hand. So what am I trying to say? Jesus took on our sickness. And through his resurrection, he gave us his health. Now, what does this mean for me? Y'all realize that a healthy life needs a healthy heart. Does that make sense? If you have a new life and you still have the old heart, the old sick heart, that can't be cured heart, Doesn't it make sense that you're just going to waste this new life away?
Right.
Y'all know people like that? You in church? God, Jesus died for your sin. He did all that. But your heart's still messed up. And you still living the old life. Sick. Messed up. Still lying to yourself. Still lying to other people. But you come on Sunday morning. And if you're online, you come online on Sunday morning. And Wednesdays for Bible study. And occasionally Fridays and Saturdays for the food program. How do you do this if you have a sick heart? You need a healthy heart. How do you get a healthy heart if you are sick? Jesus took on the sickness and he gave us his health. A healthy life needs a healthy heart. And I have come to tell you that the Spirit of God is our heart's medicine. How do you know this? Romans 8, starting at verse 9, it says, you, talking about you Christians, you, talking about us, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So if you're a Christian, you have the Spirit of God, period. That's no more to say on that. Verse 10, now if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But look, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Verse 11, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh, oh Lord, to live according to the flesh. We are not obligated to repeat those childhood patterns that the therapist taught us about. We are not obligated to follow the ways of the world because there's so much pressure and I just don't know what to do. We are not obligated because my daddy was a drunk, my mama was a drunk, and I got drunkenness in my bones and I see a bottle, I just got it. We are not obligated. We are not obligated to live to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Because if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The Spirit is our heart's medicine, y'all. He cures us. And guess what? He already lives in us. The Spirit is our heart's medicine. Now here's the part you're not gonna like. You can't take medicine once a week. Y'all read the pill bottles, right? Three times a day, every day, right? What happens if you take that pill once a week? And then here we are. Sunday morning service, hallelujah! Get home. Might cuss some people out on the way home. And that Bible stay exactly where you leave it until next Sunday at about 10 or 10:30. Oh, you have a Bible app. That app don't get used at all. Until about Sunday at about 11:30-ish. You can't take medicine once a week, y'all. and then complain about how religion ain't working. I tried this once a week. I don't see a change in my life. You taking medicine once a week? In the sermon, James. This is not the good part. In the sermon. To those that say God knows my heart, you're right. And that's the problem. He knows the games you play. He knows the agendas you have. And he knows the pride that is causing all of that. But he also knows when we want to do well for Christ, but we're struggling. He also knows when we want to change, but we just have all these problems. He knows our heart. He knows your heart. But again, medicine only works if you take it. Get involved in a Bible study, a regular Bible study with other people. As well, do your devotionals. As well, come to church here online. There are ways to continue to be exposed to what God is doing in your life. You need to pray all the time. You've got to stay in communion with God, because he's the one that's fixing all of this. Yes, God may use a therapist. Yes, God may use a counselor. Yes, God may use a pastor or a minister or a deacon or a deaconess or a mother. He might use a Sunday school teacher. God can use these people. However, medicine only works if you take it. Don't complain about how the medicine ain't working if you don't take it.